gentlemen, welcome once again as the Monday Night War Stories brings you a special event. We're not doing a pay-per-view war story. We're not even doing a regular TV show. We're bringing you the big house show from Madison Square Garden.
Well, it's a big house show.
That works. Always a big show. The voice of a generation, the Onitoshi Jeff Mack. Not my greatest. With me as always, Dashing Joseph Lussell.
It's not your greatest.
No, it is not. And the Human Wrestling Database, Corey Mack.
So the thing about Alexa in the Yankees jersey.
This is about 20 years too soon for that.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm pretty sure at this point she would have been like 5.
Yeah, no, we ain't talking that.
No.
We ain't trying to have none of that.
What we're trying to have, though, is WWF.
Yes.
Having a house show at their most important arena.
Yes.
Is that proper to say?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely the case.
So, Corey, as always, you are the bastion of knowledge on the show.
That's not what I thought you were going.
The bastard of knowledge.
The bastard.
Why is Madison Square Garden so important to the WWF?
It's home base. It's the home office. It's where Vince Sr. Promoted. That was his main arena. It's Vince Jr. It's hallowed ground. Bret Hart said it best in a promo. I believe it's Survivor Series 96. It's not a church, but it's holy ground. It's the Mecca.
I thought that was in Wisconsin.
Fuck that. Even like when you worked other territories back in the territory days, it was the goal was to make it to New York. And by New York, it meant the Garden. Because for decades, the WWF and Madison Square Garden were inseparable. You thought one, you thought the other. That's just how it was.
Because kind of, you know, we're looking back at this whole thing with WWF and WCW. It would have been preposterous for to think of a WCW show at Madison Square Garden.
It was impossible.
They tried. WWF blocked them. They tried. They finally were able to do a show at the Paramount Theater, which is a connected to MSG, mm-hmm. but yeah, it's not MSG.
WCW always got the like next door arena or down the street arena, but like
in New York, they got Nassau mm-hmm. for a while, and then it freezed them out of there too.
So, for everything, this is where you want to perform as a wrestler.
Yeah, well, yeah.
This is everything. So
to this day, it is. And unfortunately, now it's not really their home base anymore. You can actually arguably make the point that Barclays is now the home base.
Not only that, there's something we'll bring up actually on the Monday Night War Stories coming up after this on NoSlamEntertainment.com that actually makes a huge change on where WWF performs and eventually WWE. With a tax bill, actually, in New Jersey.
Yeah.
But we'll go into that more of that.
The biggest reason they don't do MSG as much, now they do it, I think, twice a year. Mm-hmm. And it's always house shows, never televised. And it's because the rent is so high. And the rent is jacked up tenfold if it's televised. So now the best you get is like 2 house shows a year. Like maybe 3 if you're lucky. Which is a shame, yeah. Really.
Because you think back at some of the big pay-per-views that you've had. I mean,
Mania.
Obviously, Mania, you know, where it all began. But even when you're looking at the kind of the more current time frame, again, Survivor Series 96. Mm-hmm. One for me that will always stick out is, I'm blanking on what year it is, but the Royal Rumble where Cena comes back.
2008.
Yes.
Royal Rumble 2000, Triple H and Cactus Jack.
Mm-hmm. I'll say,
Triple H's return. Mm-hmm.
Triple H's return on the Raw in Madison Square, yeah.
And I mean, yeah, it never was the biggest house in the world, but there was something about the feel, the difference of that.
There's an energy in Madison Square Garden, even watching through the television. Mm-hmm. I remember SummerSlam 88 was probably the first show I ever saw from Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. SummerSlam 91, of course, with Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect and the Savage Wedding with Elizabeth. So many. Hulk Hogan's title win in January 84, you know, to be alive and like have cable in the early 80s. I mean, fucking the monthly Madison Square Garden shows were shown on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You just, so much history with wrestling.
So one of the great parts about this is because these were televised, especially in New York on the MSG network, these are archived and for people to see. And WWE's put a lot of these on the network under the old school banner.
This was a weird one, though. They quit filming them and broadcasting them in March 92. And for some odd reason, unbeknownst to anyone, this one was taped and put on TV.
Because
nobody knows why.
Because this is the second house show they've done this in 97 at Madison Square Garden. Yes,
yeah.
Because they did the 25th of January.
I don't know if it was...
Why is that one not televised, but this one is?
I don't know. Because it's close to Mania and they're just trying to sell that Mania's next week.
I think that has a lot to do with it. My thought process, and this isn't... I haven't done the research to prove this. My thought process was always, it's a week before Mania. It's the same night as Uncensored. Let's see if maybe we can get some eyes off their pay-per-view and onto us a week before ours in the Northeast where you can get the MSG network.
Exactly.
That makes the most sense to me.
But it's, at least it's a strategy, which WWF actually had at this point.
Yeah.
And WCW didn't really have one of those. No.
They never did.
As for the show itself, attendance for this show, 8,513. If we're going to compare that to the show on the 25th, which was a Saturday matinee, this was Sunday night. That show on the 25th drew 16,634 people.
I should have asked you this before we went on the air.
Okay.
But do you know the attendance and date for the next MSG house show?
Let me see if I can find that if you want to fill a little bit here.
Yeah, no problem. MSG, I mean, it's hallowed ground. Of course, it's also where the Knicks and the Rangers play. And it's boxing is world famous from Madison Square Garden. My personal favorite Madison Square Garden wrestling moment would have to be WrestleMania 10. The ladder match with Shawn and Razor plus Brett Nolan.
Every time there is an event at Mania, they always come out like through a side door.
Yeah.
It's not the typical entrance for any event, like at the Royal Rumbles. It's always the side door.
Except for one. WrestleMania 20, they did do to the side like they always do. With the ramp like they use now that had a picture and video on it.
Yeah, because I know they did like...
But you're right.
I feel like they did a Raw a couple years ago, and like they had like a TV screen
it was
where
like
the entrance would be.
Yeah, and like Royal Rumble 2000, Survivor Series 96, Rumble 2008 was like that too. Yeah,
but
it was made it unique.
Yeah, it did. But do you think the reason why the attendance was low is because Uncensored was on that day?
I think...
And it's Uncensored going in, going, hey, we have a triple threat match, main event.
I mean,
and the NWO.
Yeah, I mean, for wrestling fans, you can go to in New York. You can go to MSG and watch a house show, which you've probably done a couple times before, or you can get the pay per view and watch this white hot angle with the NWO and Rodman's there, and what's Sting going to do? I think that probably had a bit of it as well.
I did find the next house, Madison Square house show. May 17th.
Okay.
That draws 15,000 people.
Wow. So this
with a 10,702 paid.
We need to look into like see
look
if
into
find...
what else was going on besides Uncensored on March 16th, 1997 that literally split the normal house show attendance in half.
That is crazy.
Right? For a week before Mania.
March 16th, 1997.
Yeah, that's
in the
just,
New York area especially.
Crazy.
Was there like a Knicks game away game that was like
Didn't Cornette or JR make a comment like, oh, there was a game today?
That was on, there was actually a game that morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it was already done. Huh.
That is, like...
I'm trying to find some...
You're doing that, I'll vamp on a different thing. How crazy... That happened quite often.
Yeah.
In New York. How crazy is it to think that during the day, they would either do a matinee house show or have the Knicks play, and then that night... They would have it set up for the wrestling.
They got to cover the court up.
Yeah.
So they have to.
Either way, that's a lot of fucking work.
Yeah, it is.
In a short
just
amount of time.
Just for a house show.
Yeah.
It's not like, hey, we're going to do a pay-per-view tonight or a Raw event.
I mean, I know it's all about money, but I can't imagine Madison Square Garden would, like, rent out for anything other than the next game that day.
Do you think it's because of the McMahon name and WWF at the time?
Vince McMahon Sr. is in the Madison Square Garden Hall of Fame. The McMahon name, at least at the time, had a lot of clout in Madison Square Garden. I'm not so sure now with them not running as regularly. But at the time, that name meant a lot in Madison Square Garden.
So here are the big things I could find for that day.
Sweet.
New Jersey Devils David Andrechuk scored his 500th goal, being the 26th player in NHL history to do so.
Was it in New Jersey?
Yeah, that could have been a difference.
I don't know if the game was in New Jersey. He just tells me that he had done that. And Stuart Appleby won the Honda Classic.
God, Jeff, that doesn't help.
Yeah. No, that's literally all I could find.
I'm guessing it was just like, I mean, in March, weather could have been bad in March, too, in New York.
And weather's bad, like, all year round in New York.
Yeah, it's either freezing cold or hotter than shit. Or just Uncensored made a huge dent in the wrestling audience.
Well, we'll find out in the...
We will.
Oh. The Nets played the Knicks that morning, and the Nets won by 15.
No. Still
doesn't help with
it's
anything.
Odd, though.
It is. Well, let's get to the show, Jeff.
So let's go ahead and get to the show. We have a very interesting announced team here.
You mean Southern. It's a really Southern announced team.
For a New York City show, having Jim Cornette and JR call it is quite interesting.
I think it's interesting that they both basically played face.
Yeah.
I like the fact that we got some jabs here and there in between the two, which is kind of fun. But it was much more lighthearted than when you...
Those two had great chemistry. They were announced teammates on WCW Power Hour in the late 80s, early 90s as well. Really good chemistry.
But they almost both die within the first minute of the show due to surprise pyro.
Damn Sultan.
I think JR actually had a heart attack at that point.
Another bout of Bell's palsy.
Jesus!
But yes, our first match, the Sultan with Bob Backlund and the Iron Sheik. Take it on Flash Funk and the Funkettes.
Did you know that he's so funky?
He is.
I was going to play the music.
That entrance doesn't... It's kind of hard to hear the music.
You can't hear the music?
It's better the fact that it's played over. But it's also playing in the background of the actual recording, and they're off sync. It's a very interesting play.
So they had him under contract in mid-98. So let me ask you a question. Why the fuck wasn't he the Godfather? That character is a pimp.
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know.
So I really wish we could look up, we probably can, the times of how long the matches are.
Oh, yeah.
And I wish I could have just freaking
timed
long Flash Funk's entrance was.
Oh, that was 7 minutes, probably. Yeah. It was long.
I think it went longer than the match itself.
I'll say, yeah, the couple of ones I looked at didn't have actual match times, but as for the match itself, Sultan with the gut-rich gutbuster, Flash Funk, a 180 splash, that gets two, then a front flip diving leg drop, then Sheik distracts the ref to break up the count. Sultan then catch power bomb, locks in the camel clutch, Flash Funk has nothing to do but tap, your winner, the Sultan.
You missed, you forgot to mention that Flash Funk does a diving clothesline from the top rope to the outside onto Bob Backlund, which Backlund basically no-sells falling over. Backlund's like, no, I'm just going to two stumbles to the stair steps.
I think that's why, I don't know if he actually caught him.
I don't know either, but either way.
Wow, I went right to it. Nice. That match was 7:42.
Was it on that history page?
Yeah.
Sweet. That match was 7:42.
Sultan's music accidentally began playing right before the hold was applied. Oh, that's a bummer.
And I think Flash Funk's entrance was like 3 minutes.
Right.
With this, we go to our next match. Tag team action as the Godwins take on the New Blackjacks.
Did we just have this match like a week ago or 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Okay. Deja vu.
Henry slams Phineas onto Bradshaw's head. He was supposed to catch the body there. That was not fun. By the way, these two teams are part of the four-team elimination tag match to determine the number one contenders at WrestleMania 13.
Can you name the other two teams?
The Headbangers and Furnace and LaFon.
There you go.
Okay, let's bring it up now. So Furnace and LaFon face Bulldog and Owen for the title tonight.
Yes.
Correct.
Why? I knew the results of the next that tag match mm-hmm. via the fact of this match itself and the whole idea of later on, if Furnace and LaFon beat Bulldog and Owen, Bulldog and Owen have to go into the Fatal 4-Way now.
At least they mentioned it. I give them credit for that.
But it wasn't going to happen.
No, it wasn't going to happen. It was never going to happen. It's a house show. But
why like even have that as a stipulation? Why not just have...
Because you needed a match?
Why don't have Furnace and LaFon fucking defend the title in the Fatal 4-Way match?
Yeah, why don't I just make Bulldog and Owen against... Mankind and Vader, the de facto number one contenders match.
Because that's basically what they're doing with the World Heavyweight title. Yeah. That if on Monday Night on the War Stories, if
or no,
if Sid beats Brett, it's gonna be Austin versus Brett.
That's
for the
true.
Title.
I mean, they're doing the same exact thing with that one.
It's a little different, I feel, because the amount of teams in the Fatal 4-Way trying to set up a number one contender, where you have a clear cut number one contender in Vader and Mankind.
Are they number one contenders?
Yes,
they have the urn. Never won them. They never teamed up before they were named number one contenders.
Yeah. They have the urn.
Oh, that's all.
That's all you need.
Paul Bearer made a sex tape with Linda McMahon.
Oh, Linda.
Hey, you don't know what happened at that fucking tax meeting.
I'll be your sexy boy. Oh yeah.
If in case you were wondering, yes, there is a lot of clubbing in this match.
The clubbing.
Can we add a Dusty to this?
Two Southern.
Oh, my God. The triple Southern New York house show. Windham with a nice back suplex. That gets two. Phineas with a back suplex of his own. Eventually, Henry catches Bradshaw coming off the top rope into a power slam. Hits the belly-to-belly suplex, but can only get two. Henry then hits the slop drop on Bradshaw, but the ref's distracted trying to get Phineas out of the ring. The Blackjacks perform twin magic. For the roll-up in the 1-2-3, your winners, the new Blackjacks.
That went 8-13.
I'm honestly surprised that this is a house show, and their first two matches, the heels win.
Right.
Because we've been to house shows, and it's always the face that wins. Maybe a heel won, or like, maybe one match of the eight matches they give us.
Well, the rule is, like, if the heel's the champ, they'll win. But yeah. Other than that, yeah.
But these are non-title matches.
Looks like they're
no titles.
Well, I guess if it's going to be televised, you can't do the formulaic. Like.
Yeah, this is true. Next, we go to a promo as Doc Hendricks is in the ring to interview Brett the Hitman Hart. And this is, how do we put Brett promos? Bitch and moan, bitch and moan. All Brett does is bitch and moan. That being said, Madison Square Garden firmly supporting Bret Hart.
Oh no, he was God in that arena.
Austin very much hated in this arena.
He got mixed though. Austin got mixed.
You gotta remember, Bret's been working since 84 in MSG. You remember how many matches that guy's probably had in Madison Square Garden?
That's true. Very true. Will they live up to the quality of this next match?
One can only hope. This is Joe's match of the night.
Yeah, I could imagine. As Aldo Montoya takes on Crush with the Nation.
And punch the heart punch, and that's the match.
Well, the other thing is, no rapping intro. They couldn't give live mics to PG-13.
Of course they couldn't. This goes 146.
But yeah, it's a heart punch for the 1-2-3.
Poor Aldo Montoya.
All this is about the post-match beatdown. And then Ahmed Johnson coming out with a 2x4 to chase the Nation back into the locker room so he can go through the curtain and then come back in and do his intro for the next match.
I like how the curtain is still wide and you can see what Ahmed's doing after and he just like starts walking like doo 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 doo. I wish he like grabbed like a cup of coffee or something as he's walking like, oh,
guess who my Moa Dib of the night is.
Might be.
Yes.
Aldo Montoya.
No.
Speaking of Moa Dib, our next match, Moa Dib taking on Savio Vega with the Nation of Domination.
Holy fuck.
Doesn't... Okay, once again, Savio Vega's little promo, I feel, is go longer than the, hey, man, you sound like Carlito. You should come join us.
Well, the thing is...
you're black.
Well, we get some Puerto Rico.
We get the review of what happened back in January when Savio turned. And Savio, you know, he's breaking down race relations in wrestling. The fact that he believes that Ahmed Johnson never got his title match because he's not white.
So that's therefore. Should he be with Ahmed then?
Therefore, Ahmed should join the Nation.
Oh, I see what it is. I see what's going on here.
Then, well, that fails. And we get the match. Savio spin heel kick. By the way, call the superstar line because, damn it, New York, you need to know these things on the superstar line.
Someone had got stripped down at the airport the other day.
I wonder who. It was probably Sunny. She probably requested it.
No, it wasn't.
No?
No.
Who was it?
I don't know. JR said it.
That was the next night, actually, he said that. But
was it?
Yeah.
No, whatever. I don't care. It's the hotline. No one
we
can
just
call
don't
want
to hear you call this match because nobody gives,
no
a
gives
flying
a
fuck.
Fuck
about
Ahmed
this match.
Ahmed with the STO and the axe kick. Savio with the super kick. Ahmed then hits Crush and Savio with the 2x4. Spine Buster, Pearl of a Plunge. Then the Nation runs in and they beat the shit out of Ahmed Johnson. Farouk comes down, takes a leather belt, and starts beating the shit out of Ahmed Johnson. And that's it.
That goes an excruciating 8:56.
That sounds about right. Next up, we have the WWF Tag Team titles on the line as Furnace and LaFon take on Owen and the Bulldog. And, gentlemen, it took a house show in Madison Square Garden, but Furnace and LaFon got an entrance.
They might be my MVPs for that one reason.
It finally happened, guys.
Miracles do happen.
Do you believe in miracles?
Bulldog and Owen try to cut a promo backstage before their entrance, and there's slight lighting issues.
Just a little bit.
Basically, the lights keep on turning completely off on them. It's kind of hilarious.
Hey, turn these damn lights on.
After the match itself, of course, Owen and Furnace do a good job, but when it's Owen and LaFon, it's much better. Eventually, it's LaFon and Bulldog in the match. Where is LaFon from, Joe?
Canada?
That'd be France.
Close enough, right? They're neighbors.
Where's Bulldog from?
The Great Britain.
What is the chant in the crowd?
USA?
Yes.
Of course. Go on.
Just let that sink in there. The French guy's wrestling the British guy. So, of course, there's a USA chant.
When does Scotty Riggs come out?
The next night.
Ah, American males. I can't wait. Somebody clap once again.
Wonderful work of the ref by Owen and Bulldog in this match. Just keeping him in perfect position for what they want to do. Owen with the enziguri, that gets to then a gut-rich suplex. LaFon then in running DDT to Owen. Furnace, power slam, then an overhead suplex, then a hurricane rana. Furnace then goes to suplex Bulldog into the ring, but Owen grabs his foot. Bulldog lands right on top of him for the 1-2-3. Your winners and still the tag team champions, Owen and Bulldog.
Now I have American Males theme song stuck in my head.
That went 13-33.
It was a good match.
It was a good match.
Good, solid match. We then get a review of Brett's interview earlier in the night. Because we need more Brett bitching.
Was that the slam of the night?
Yes.
We go to a promo, and I needed to talk about this. Okay, so we were all trying to figure out, when do they finally name China?
Apparently here.
Apparently it's an MSG house show.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I mean, odd, but yes.
So I guess now we can do it, Corey. Tell us about China.
Joni Lauer. Unfortunately passed away last year, but debuted back in Chattanooga, ragdolling the fuck out of Marlena and being carted off to jail numerous weeks in a row. Triple H conspicuously would leave the arena and come back, and this jacked up bitch would be right behind him. But yet it took like 5 weeks for someone to figure out, hey, I think Triple H and her, I think there's something going on there. So she's the de facto replacement for Mr. Hughes as his bodyguard, his protection. Although here they said something like his servant or some
personal
shit like
assistant.
Yeah.
I think it's because they have her because Shawn Michaels and Triple H went to like work out one day and they saw her like she could be something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it took a lot of convincing Vince. He was not for it at all. But yep, she comes in. And she had been trained by Killer Kowalski, who had trained Triple H and Perry Saturn and Matt Bloom, many others. So she had some wrestling experience. And it was just a unique spin on the bodyguard. You know, what if we had a muscular female as a bodyguard? I mean, Jesus Christ. Imagine, they had a good idea. Imagine the heat Triple H would get. I mean, you pussy, you have a woman as your bodyguard.
And it worked. It worked so well because, again, he's about to have a match here. It's for the Intercontinental title against Rocky Maivia.
How many times have we seen this fucking match?
But I love the spin of he's ready to go after Triple H, but then China steps in and Rocky doesn't know what to do.
It's like a couple weeks ago, or a week ago, and Belgium.
Brett, Germany.
In Germany, when she gets in the ring, it's like, come on, let's fight.
And Brett. And Brett looks like he's going to fight him.
Yeah.
Fight her because, you know.
But, young Rocky doesn't know what to do. He's completely perplexed by the situation. You can't hit her, but you have to get to Triple H at some point. What do you do? And it's a great play.
Give it 3 years.
Well, just imagine if this character debuted in 2017 instead of 1997. With the climate, everything, she'd be like a fucking hero.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
I also like the China assisted abdominal stretch. That works. Right. Because you're playing off of how powerful she is.
Yeah, she's a jacked bitch.
By the way, I could have just looked at my notes to figure out that they're coming back to Madison Square Garden on the 17th of May.
Way to go, bro. I mean, fuck.
Hey, you might want to check on your notes.
Yeah.
Hey, this guy over here, he knows what he's doing.
Rocky pulling out a new move, pulling out the perfect plex.
Hey.
That gets two, back suplex gets two, belly-to-belly suplex gets two, then the float over DDT, flying crossbody, which, again, give him props. That kid could fly off that top rope.
Oh, no, he's got, yeah, no.
By the way, that gets two. But then, Joe, what's that move that Triple H hits?
Pedigree.
That's going to do it, except for here comes Goldust in to break up the count, and this is a disqualification again.
At 14:45.
It's a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Marlena jumps China from behind again. And they have to be separated by the refs.
Yep.
After this, out comes Sonny.
I know you want me.
Because you need to buy the hockey jersey for WrestleMania 13.
Hey, at least they're selling those type of hockey jerseys. Look at WCW. We discussed this before. Public Enemy.
Yep,
yeah, why aren't they selling them? Easy money.
Wait, who was part of that breakup of the last match?
Goldust.
Hey, guess who's in the next match? It's Goldust.
Who's he wrestling?
Farouk.
All right, before you go any further.
We want to talk that Farouk promo?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to break down the promo.
You I'm thought, for this.
Did you think I wouldn't?
No, I was hoping. I was praying for this.
Damn. All right, hold on.
First, they give him a working microphone.
Yeah. Now, since I've been here, I've been forced to wrestle dead men, colored boys, and white boys. But I draw the line at wrestling a fag like Goldust.
Shit. And I think you could combine just see the lump in the throat of everybody backstage.
I loved it. Come on. It's 1997. Things weren't as delicate back then. And great. Come on. Farouk, that... Mm-hmm. That sounds like something a militant leader of a black
to be fair, this is
of
true.
A black power group with a Puerto Rican and a Hawaiian in it would say.
And a white guy.
No.
Now, again, it's an over-the-top promo and everything, but I have to steal another line from another podcast. And then the bell rang.
Yeah, well.
And I will admit this. That's a fault. I kind of fell asleep during the match.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Well, you're not the only one.
It was not a good match.
It was bad.
I woke up when Vader came out.
So here's the funny thing.
That's not when I woke up. You know when I woke up? When Farouk created the Big E Wiggle. When he's standing over Goldust doing the hip sway, I'm like, that's where he got it from.
Does Big E know his daddy?
Yeah, so, no, he doesn't. No. So I legit fell asleep at this point.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I rewatched it.
Okay, you have been redeemed.
Thank you. I rewatched it, and I saw the shimmy. I'm like, And the commentators did not make a reference of that. Like, why is he doing the shimmy?
Hold on. Yeah. Before you... you quoted another podcast. I'm going to quote one of my favorites as they reviewed this era in real time, the Place to Be podcast. Mm-hmm. And they had a pretty low opinion of Farouk during his Nation of Domination leader years in terms of in-ring. And one of the guys succinctly put it, and if you notice these matches, it's always true, when he does the butt splash on the guy's back and the guy goes down, and then he stands there and does a salute, and the guy will always get between his legs and then electric chair him.
Yeah.
And every fucking match, you can see the look. Farouk is like, give it down from here. No. And then he falls backwards. This version of Farouk is not as fun as Ron Simmons or later on Ron Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
It's in ring. It's just something's... It's like he's playing the character and he's getting it down, but he doesn't know how to play Farouk the wrestler yet.
He's forgetting how... Yeah.
Yeah.
He's forgetting in what way is Farouk a wrestler? Yeah. Like, his mentality.
Because it is different. You can't just be Ron Simmons and then do that character. There will be different movesets and different...
Like, Ron Simmons, he's, like, the former football player.
Ron Simmons has gone out there and bowled through everyone. Yeah. That's what he did. But this is a little different. And it's like it's like he's seeing it to where he's got to play that, please don't hurt me,
master. He has to play that role because of the fact that he has all his goons.
Yeah.
So they have to play, okay, you are the leader, but you're also kind of weak, so that's where you have all your goons that have to help in every match.
And it causes it in ring to suffer a little bit.
Well, speaking of the goons interfering, that's actually the end of the match because Crush trips up Goldust, then Farouk with the pile driver. But he's right next to the ropes, and he goes through the cover, and Goldust's foot gets on the rope. Crush just brushes the foot off of the ropes for the 1-2-3.
So who won?
Your winner, Farouk.
At 8:26.
Not the longest match of the night, by far.
No. Well, Crush, hello.
But here we come to our main event.
Well, first we have a promo.
Or is it?
Because Psycho Sid's here with Doc Hendricks.
And he's going to...
Did you guys...
He's going to talk.
...hear all the music playing?
Yep.
It was Sid's and then the Monday Night Raw new theme and something else. It kept Nation.
Yep.
It all kept all three played at once.
It was very weird. But my note for this promo is this. Yep, that's a Sid promo.
That's all you can do.
That's all you need. But with that, let's get to our main event. It's a casket match as Vader with Paul Bearer takes on The Undertaker. And... I love that. So you go back to Taker to do the promo, but the microphone's still hot on the camera in the arena. So you get Vader screaming at the audience during the middle of the promo. It's Tom! Who the man?
I'm the man.
Also, again, Cornette goes off about surprise pyro because they give some to Taker when he comes out. And Cornette's just going off on Kevin Dunn and the guys in the back. I hate this pyro! What are you trying to do? You're trying to kill me? Fuck you, Kevin Dunn! Fuck you!
Fuck you, Kevin Dunn.
I think truer words than everyone's spoken. As for the match itself, Taker with the old school.
Hey, Jeff, what type of match is this?
It's a casket match.
Okay.
Taker then introduces Vader to a chair a few times. Then Taker... He tries to catch Vader coming off the top rope and turn it into a power slam, and it does not work at all. Taker then chokeslams Vader, hits him with the tombstone, goes to roll him into the casket. When he opens the casket, of course, Mankind's in there because fuck it, we've only done that twice this year.
Let's hammer that son of a bitch into the ground.
Of course, mandible claw to Taker, they put him into the casket, and Vader wins.
That was like 7:25, by the way.
But then as soon as Vader starts going up the ramp to celebrate, Taker pops out of the casket, beats the shit out of Mankind, chokeslam Tombstone, puts him into the casket, and that's the end of the show.
Well, except for if you were live in Madison Square Garden.
There is a dark match, isn't there?
Yeah, the...
That's what I thought, because it felt weird that that's how it ended.
The World Wrestling Federation Championship was on the line in a steel cage as Psycho Sid defeated Bret the Hitman Hart in 9:56 by crawling through the cage door to the floor before Hart touched the floor by climbing over the top after Bret hit a superplex on him. Huh. And that ends the night.
That's what I honestly felt like that was an odd way to close the show.
It was awful abrupt.
Yeah.
Good night.
We're out of time.
But it makes sense not to put the cage match on there, obviously, because it's going to be your main event the next night on Raw.
Yeah, you really don't want to ruin that.
Actually, funny enough, I forgot to bring this up last week. It was also the dark match at the end of the of Raw last week.
Got to get it in. Make sure you figure it out. Mm-hmm.
So, what do you guys think of this as a house show?
I enjoyed it. It was an easy watch.
Yeah,
it was quick,
easy.
2 hours.
Even though I fell asleep, that was because I was deprived from work.
Yeah. And I honestly, I think about this as I was watching it. If I was there, it's a perfectly good house show. I've got my money's worth.
Yeah,
there was good action. There was some decent stuff there. All the major stars,
besides Crush, Austin.
Except for Austin was there.
Joe was in the house.
Joe was so awe-inspired by Crush. Inspired his hairdo all these years later.
Okay, Adam Bomb.
Fuck you.
Yeah, see that?
So anyways.
Chronic.
God, how did we become that tag team?
Because you love Wrath so much.
I mean, you almost got Wrath out. You almost got it out. But anyways. Phrasing. Match of the night.
Whoa. What?
I guess we should probably do a technical award show.
I just wanted to play the music. Slapdick. That's all I wanted to do. Thank you. Good night.
Okay. Match of the night.
I'm going to go with Bulldog and Owen against LaFon and Furnace.
Ditto.
Same here. Worst match of the night.
Crush. Hard on
Montoya. Yep. MVP of the night.
Cornette.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Cornette on commentary.
He did a great job on commentary. I'll go with Furnace and LaFon for getting an entrance. Moadib. Joe, what the fuck?
Moadib. So much airtime.
Corey, what the fuck?
There's not really anything to what the fuck. It was a nice, breezy house show. Matches.
You're going down.
Well, besides that, I'll count a positive what the fuck, in, I guess, in a way. Makes me wish that we got more JR and Cornette's commentary on TV.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. My what the fuck goes to WWF for unveiling the mystery woman's name on a fucking house show.
It is stupid. I can't.
Was this done on Raw 2 weeks ago?
The Amazon. I think they were actually going to call her the Amazon for a while. I think that's why they kept calling her that. I think that was going to be the name.
They just decided to change to the China at a house show in New York City. They went to the China Club.
They probably went to China Club. China, had Chinese food. And like China, what is this from? China?
Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken.
You have a drumstick in your brain, soft chicken. Watch the next pause and the lights on. And lays on. Hope to spoke to this one.
Hey.
Get laid.
Yeah. Hey, get laid.
One of these days. So
we're gonna get him laid.
By that.
That was pretty
one-legged whore.
That was a pretty quick, painless special edition.
Well, guess what? I can tell you one thing: next week won't be quite so painless.
So up next here on NoSellEntertainment.com, you're gonna have the Monday Night War stories as we bring you St. Patrick's Day in 1997.
Good day, mate.
And while there is stuff happening on Nitro, let's be honest: it's the go home to WrestleMania.
It is the go home to WrestleMania. And the very end of the show.
Wow.
Wow. This is a game changer.
More like a template.
But we'll get more into that on the Monday Night War Stories. And then, of course, next week we'll bring you the pay-per-view war story for WrestleMania 13.
Whether it kills us or not.
Heat.
Or it's going to be too hot. Hot yeah. Damn.
And then, of course, the Monday Night War Stories.
Will Farouk have a live mic?
Coming up after that. So
Will Farouk have a live mic on pay-per-view
in Chicago? Let's hope not, because I want to limit the Chicago street fight to as little bit of time as possible.
Fair enough.
So with that being said, make sure you check out all of our podcasts on NoSellEntertainment.com. You can also reach us individually on the Twitter. Joe?
Since I'm barred from Olive Garden from now on, you can find me at the Dasheen.
Corey?
That kayfabe guy.
And you can follow me on Twitter at the Mac, T-H-E-M-A-A-C-K. And with that being said, for Producer Zed, for Dasheen Joseph Lessel, for the Human Wrestling Database Corey Mac, for the wonderful people at Madison Square Garden, I am the Onitoshi Jeff Mac. Good night.